We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Today we come to an extraordinary, extraordinary passage of Scripture. Mark chapter 1, and we begin now in verse 21. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee. This dramatic episode took place in the synagogue at Capernaum. Now those of you who have visited the Holy Land in all likelihood visited this spot, because the ruins of that old synagogue, at least the foundation of that old synagogue, remain to this day. I believe of all of the spots on earth, this spot is one of the most beautiful. That Sea of Galilee sits there like a topaz on the bosom of Mother Earth. And there at the northern part of the Sea of Galilee is this synagogue. And when Jesus came into this synagogue as he began his public ministry, there came a confrontation with a demon possessed man. I'm speaking today on dealing with the demonic. Dealing with the demonic. Because, dear friend, whether you realize it or not, there is a demonic world out there. It is very real and very vicious, and you dare not be misinformed or uninformed, disinterested or uninterested. There's no way that you can avoid one way or another, rightly or wrongly, dealing with the demonic. When we were little boys, we had nothing better to do. Sometimes we'd go out in the yard and just roll over stones to see how many bugs were under them. And it was always interesting when you'd roll over a big rock that all of those slimy things, those creeping things, those wiggly squiggly things, those vile things, those foul things would begin to scurry and run from the pure sunlight that would come down. They could not stand the light. They were creatures of the darkness. Something very similar happened that day in the synagogue when light came, and Jesus exposed the kingdom of darkness, and there was a confrontation between light and dark, and this demon, or these demons inhabiting this man, recognized the purity, the unsullied holiness of the Lord Jesus, and shrieked out and cried out in terror because light had come that day and exposed the kingdom of darkness. Now, the word occult means hidden, and there is a hidden world, a world, a shadowy world of darkness. And I want to expose today again through this book, God's Word, I want to throw the light of God's Word upon that dark kingdom. And I want you to learn some things as we speak today about dealing with the demonic. The first thing I would have you to recognize is what I'm going to call the reality of the demonic, the reality of demons. Look again, if you will, in verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Now, there is a spiritual world. This world is very real out there, and the Bible does not deny it. The Bible, as a matter of fact, affirms it. Now, I know that there are some who laugh at the idea of demons and spirits, but I want to tell you, dear friend, there is no way possible that you can take this Bible at face value and deny the reality of the demonic. And I want to tell you something else. My experience in personal ministry is enough to make me affirm also the reality of the demonic. There are those who laugh, and this sophisticated age just simply arches its eyebrows, and they think that our problems are in the realm of housing and education and peace and all of these things, but they never solve the problem because they never see the enemy. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness. It'll be a great day in America when people learn that everything that is spiritual is not necessarily good. There is spiritual righteousness. There is spiritual wickedness. The Bible says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. We're wrestling against spiritual wickedness. Our battle today is not primarily the pornographers, the IRS, or your mother-in-law. Dear friend, I want to tell you that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And the reason that so many times we don't win the battle is we don't show up for the war. We don't even know where the war is. Therefore, we go down in defeat. I heard about a boxer who was being horribly abused and beaten. His opponent was just too much for him. He came back to his corner between rounds and he told his manager, throw in the towel. This guy's killing me. The manager said, oh. He said he hadn't laid a glove on you. He said, then watch that referee because somebody's killing me. Now, dear friend, we sometimes try to explain away. We say, he's not real. Well, I want to ask you, somebody's killing us. Somebody is doing a lot of damage. Somebody is doing something horrible and terrible in this world in which we live. There is the reality of the demonic. Now, who are these demon spirits? Where have they come from? Well, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe that they are fallen angels. Fallen angels. You can read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4 about the great dragon. And that great dragon, the Bible tells us clearly, is the devil. And the Bible says that that great dragon with his tail swept a third of the stars from heaven. And they fell to the earth. Well, that didn't literally happen, nor will it literally happen. There's not room on planet Earth for a third of the heavenly bodies. One star is millions of times bigger than planet Earth. Those stars were the bright and morning stars. Those stars were the angelic creatures who fell when Lucifer fell. Lucifer, his very name, Lucifer, means light bearer. He was the son of the morning. But when he fell, he became Satan, the father of the night. And when he rebelled against God, myriads of angel spirits rebelled against God with him. The Bible speaks of these in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. And the Bible says, and God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Angels that sinned, bright, shining angels that sinned. The Bible speaks of these same angels in Jude chapter 6. But the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. These scriptures and other scriptures tell us that there are angels in rebellion against God, fallen angels who have followed their leader, who is Lucifer. They are invisible. They are personal. They are powerful. They have no bodies of their own. They seek to inhabit human bodies and therefore to do their nefarious work through the minds, the bodies, the personalities of human beings here upon this earth. And why do they do that? Why are demons so interested in afflicting human beings? Well, because of their hatred for God and because of God's love for you. You see, the devil cannot get directly at God, but evil persons have always known if you cannot harm someone that someone loves, and you've harmed them anyway. And so this is the reason that the devil takes such an interest in you. And there is a cosmic warfare. There is the reality of demons. Now, demons come against human beings in three basic ways. Number one, oppression. Oppression. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. All who were oppressed of the devil. Now, this word oppressed literally means to rule over one, to take authority over somebody, as it were, to put someone else down, to exercise dominion. You remember over there in James chapter 2, verse 6, where James is warning about the rich people? And James says concerning the rich people, he said, don't you understand that they oppress you? Do not rich men oppress you? And he uses the same word. Now you think of how the rich may oppress the poor, how the rich may take advantage over the poor, how the rich may exercise their power and their authority. I'm talking about unscrupulous rich people, ungodly rich people. Now, then you have some understanding of what this word oppress means. And so the devil knows how to harass you. The devil knows how to hassle you. The devil knows how to take advantage of you. And demon spirits would oppress you. And the devil would oppress every one of us. He would oppress me. You know, I used to think that in my battle with the devil and my battle with demon spirits, that the main thing I had to do was not to sin. And then the battle would be over. Friend, you can be perfectly righteous and still do battle with the devil. Jesus did. Jesus did. The devil came to Jesus to oppress Jesus. That's what he was doing. It was an oppression. There is a cosmic war with spiritual powers who would oppress us. Now, that's one way the devil works through demons, is oppression. The other way the devil works is through obsession. Not oppression, but obsession. Now, the Bible calls this obsession vexing. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits. The Bible speaks of unclean spirits there, vexing people. In Acts chapter 5, verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing the sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. Now, Webster says the word to vex and obsess, these words are synonymous. So I would use the word obsess rather than the word vex because I think we're more familiar with the word obsess. But you see, there is oppression and then there's obsession. Now, the oppression is primarily from without. This is the way the devil would mob you, harass you, hassle you. This is the way the devil would intimidate you and do war with you. That is oppression. But obsession is not from without. It is more from within. It deals more with the mind. It deals more with the spirit. And you see people today who are obsessed with obsessions. And I believe that more people have demonic obsessions in this world than we would ever dare dream. People who are obsessed with sex. I don't mean that they have a healthy attitude towards sex. I mean this is the pornographer or the reader of pornography. There's an obsession. There's something that fills their minds. There are people who are obsessed with drugs. There are people who are obsessed with hatred, with revenge. People who have all kinds of weird and strange ideas that drive them and mold them, and they are, in a sense, caught up, swept along. There's something that fills their minds, consumes their energies, and just drives them and drives them and drives them in a particular way. It's not normal. They have what we would call today an obsession. The Bible speaks of those who were obsessed with unclean spirits. All of these obsessions are unclean. Drugs, sex, revenge, pride, greed. Oh, there are a lot of you not obsessed. You're not obsessed with sex. You're obsessed with money. It's an obsession. The businessman. I mean, he may be the finest businessman today, and everybody says what a wonderful businessman he is, but he has an obsession. He has an obsession. He's not making money. He's just keeping score. He doesn't need any more money. But he can't stop. He can't even stop to do those legitimate things because he's driven. He has an obsession. You know people who are obsessed today? Of course you do. All around, people are obsessed. There's something very wicked about this obsession. It comes from Satan. All right, now look, watch. There is oppression, there's obsession, and then thirdly, there's possession. There's possession. That's the third way that the devil comes against people. Now, notice here in Mark chapter 1, it speaks actually of this possession. In verse 32, it speaks of it more clearly. And it even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Possessed with devils. And incidentally, every time you read the word devils in the plural, you may translate it demons. There's only one devil, many demons. And the Greek word here that is translated devils literally means demons, demons. Those that are possessed with demons. Now, what is a possessed person? Well, this is when that demon is not merely oppressing or obsessing, but he has actually moved in, he has taken up residence, and where that demon spirit begins to occupy the place that belongs to God the Holy Spirit in the human spirit. You see, the way that we're meant to operate is this, that God the Holy Spirit is meant to dwell in man's human spirit, and man's human spirit, in link with God's Holy Spirit, is to give direction to the soul, which is the mind, the emotion, and the will. And then the mind, the emotion, and the will are to tell the body what to do, and the body is to go out into the world and express the life of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit in the human spirit speaking to the human soul, the mind, the emotion, and the will telling the body, the hands, the eyes, the feet, what to do, where to go, what to say. And then I express the life of the Lord Jesus as He inhabits my humanity and His deity is made real through my humanity. I am possessed of God's Holy Spirit, you see. That's the way I'm supposed to live. I am possessed. He comes into me. He possesses me and I am His temple and He lives in me. Now, it is possible for the devil through one of his demons to come in and take that place that belongs to God the Holy Spirit and so possess that person that he is to the human spirit what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do, and he so takes control of that human spirit because he possesses that individual that then he controls the mind, the emotion, and the will, and all kinds of terrible and horrible things are worked out in the mind and the body, the emotion, and this man is expressing the life of Satan in his life. And Satan, rather than God, is getting the glory because that man has been possessed. That man has been possessed by a demonic spirit. Okay? That's possession. Now the question comes, can a child of God be demon possessed? I do not think so. I do not think so. A child of God can be oppressed. And don't say he can't, because I have, and so have you, and anybody who's done battle, you know oppression. And a child of God, if he's not careful, can be obsessed. And that's the thing that Paul is warning about in Ephesians chapter 4 when he says, don't give a place to the devil. Don't you let the devil come in and make some thought, some obsession come into you. But I don't believe a child of God can be possessed. For, dear friend, in order for you to be possessed, first of all, the Holy Spirit would have to be dispossessed. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God would have to move out before he could move in. You see, when you got saved, you received God's Holy Spirit, and he comes to abide with you forever, and he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I don't believe that the enemy could ever dispossess that which belongs to Almighty God. But that doesn't mean, therefore, that you will not have to do battle with the demonic. You may be oppressed. Many people are oppressed of the devil. I mean, the saints of God are harassed by the enemy. And many of the saints of God have given a place to the enemy, and they have been obsessed by the enemy. Now, so, therefore, we need to learn something about the demonic. The reality of demons. Here was a man with an unclean spirit. The reality of the demonic. The second thing I would have you to learn, not only the reality of the demonic, but I would have you to learn the authority of Jesus. The authority of Jesus. Now look here in the scripture again, if you will, in verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And then verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, now watch this, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, underscore that, for with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus has authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, we need to understand that there's not some sort of a dualism with Satan over here and God over here, and there's a battle royal, and we're still waiting to see who's going to win. Satan has been defeated. Jesus has authority over the enemy. We need to understand this. And that's the reason our Lord said, behold, I give unto you authority over all the power of the enemy. Christ has that authority, and as we're going to see in a moment, he has given us that authority. Now, I want you to learn four things that are true about demons in their relationship to Jesus. Number one, they recognize his full deity and authority. We know who you are, the Holy One of God. They recognize that. I tell you, the devil's more orthodox than some theologians I know. More orthodox than some theologians I know. Some theologians haven't even gotten up to the level of the devil. We know thee, who thou art. Heaven has already said in this chapter, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And now hell has to confess the same thing that heaven has confessed. We know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Demons recognize the deity and the authority of Jesus Christ. The second thing I would have you to notice is that demons have an antipathy, a hatred of Jesus. Let us alone. Leave us alone. Every demon-possessed person does not want to hear the things of God, the real things of God. Oh, they may come to a worship service. They may sit around and listen to a conversation. But when Jesus Christ, in all of his purity, all of his loveliness is presented, they will say, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Have you ever heard anybody say, hey, don't preach to me. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear this stuff. Of course they don't want to hear it. Because it is that demon spirit that has oppressed them or obsessed them or possessed them that says, get out of here with that. The darkness cannot stand the light. Leave us alone. Don't roll that rock over. Put it back. We want to stay down here in the mud, to ooze, the slime, the darkness. We do not want that light shone upon us. Now, the unsaved man may not realize why he doesn't like the gospel. He may not realize why he has an antipathy, a hatred toward the things of God. But he is the victim of that foul demon who has that hatred, that holy hatred of Jesus. Now, the third thing I would have you to understand is that not only is there recognition of Jesus, not only is there hatred of Jesus, but I'll tell you the third thing is this, dear friend, there is a cringing fear of Jesus. Art thou come to destroy us? Oh, how these demons cringe before their Lord and Master. And dear friend, what I'm trying to tell you is this, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And it will help you to know, it will help you to understand that Christ Jesus has authority over all of the powers of darkness. And no child of God need ever fear Satan. Never, never be aware of him. Be vigilant, be sober, but do not be afraid. They are afraid of you when you recognize your power, who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the last thing you must understand is that they must always yield to his authority. They must always yield to his authority. Jesus said, be still. It literally means be muzzled. That's what the Greek, just like, have you seen a dog with a muzzle? Be muzzled. That's an exact translation. Be muzzled. Jesus dealt with that demon as a wild, yapping, snarling beast. Be still and come out of him. And he came out. The Bible says that he tore him. And with a loud voice, he cried as he came out of him. What does it mean he tore him? Did he actually hurt him physically? No. Because if you will read in Luke chapter 4, the same story, there Luke says he did him no harm. But what does that tell us? It means this, that Satan never gives up anybody or anything without a fight. He shrieks, this demon, in agony and pain, and this man goes through a paroxysm of, there's a battle there. And if we could only understand that, that your friends, your neighbors, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your children who have been inhabited by a foul demon, who are being manipulated by a demon, there's a battle. There's a battle. That's the reason Jesus, later on, we're going to see in this Gospel of Mark, when the disciples tried to cast a demon out, they weren't able to do it. Jesus said, "This kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." There's a battle. Don't you just sally forth and say, "Oh, all right, I have authority over all the power of the enemy." Friend, unless you are living with God, unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit, unless you are claiming, I don't mean theoretically, I mean actually, that power of Jesus Christ in your life, you don't understand the power of our enemy. But you do need to understand the greater power of Jesus Christ and the authority of Jesus rightly applied over the power of the enemy. Demons must obey him. Now, I've talked to you, first of all, about the reality of the demonic. I've talked to you, secondly, about the authority of Jesus. Now, let me talk to you, thirdly, about the victory of the believer. The victory of the believer. Now, the Bible says here that these demons came out. And then you're going to find out later on, as we study Mark, that Jesus gave his disciples power to cast out demons. Then he sent out 70 and gave them power. And they came back reporting why even the demons were subject to us through your name. Then you're going to find out later on that he gives the great commission and says, all authority is given unto me. And he says, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. And we are to have victory. Where's this victory coming from? You see, the reason, friend, listen. The reason that we are not having victory in our world today is that we're fighting on the wrong battlefront. You want me to tell you the three things that the world is trying to use today? Legislation, education, and environment. That's it. Legislation. They think if we make enough laws, we're going to be able to control mankind. But the problem is, and I'm not against laws as such, but the problem is, listen, people, we don't even have enough prisons to warehouse the criminals. I mean, they're stacking up on us. And legislation alone, indeed, is not the answer. There's an old story I've shared with you before about a dad said to his son, "Son, sit down." And the little boy, about 4 years old, wouldn't sit down. He said, "Son," I said, "sit down." The little fellow still wouldn't sit down. So finally, the dad took the little fellow by both shoulders and set him forcibly in a chair. The little fellow sat there and looked up at his dad and said, "I'm standing up on the inside." Now, law can only deal with the outside. It cannot deal with the heart. All right, and then we try not only legislation, but we try education. It's amazing how many people think that education is the answer. Did you know that Hitler was a demon-possessed man? Hitler was a demon-possessed man. And over Nazi Germany, he had rule. Nazi Germany was one of the most erudite, educated, learned, sophisticated nation on the face of this earth. And yet that was the nation of the gas ovens and all of the horrors of Nazi Germany. Education is not the answer. You see, if a man is controlled by the devil, and then you educate him, what have you got? A clever devil. You've got a smarter devil. That's the reason why somebody said you can take an ordinary man, an ordinary sinner, he'll steal a watermelon off a boxcar. You give him an education, he'll steal the whole railroad. He just knows more how to be evil. Education is not the answer. Somebody else says, well, environment is the answer. What happens is all of these people are living in these terrible conditions, and you change the environment, you'll change the man. You've got it just backward. Just backward. I want to ask you a question. Where did man get in trouble? In the Garden of Eden. You never have a better environment than that, will you? I mean the Garden of Eden. That's where man got in trouble to begin with. Now, listen. I am for legislation, I am for education, and I am for a better environment. I'm for better housing and all of that. But I'm saying, dear friend, if that's all you do, you have never addressed the problem. All you're doing is giving aspirins. You're not dealing with infection. You see, we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Where is the answer? Dear friend, I want to tell you that the answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mark begins his gospel. And he starts out his gospel, I mean right away, letting us know there's no doubt whatever that Jesus, our dear, wonderful Savior, has given us the victory. Those of you who are children of God, I mean those of you who are saved and Spirit-filled, you are going to know a conflict with the enemy. Jesus Christ did. Mark has already told us how Jesus had met the devil in the wilderness, and you're going to meet him. But thank God, hallelujah, I am telling you that God has given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and I am telling you that Satan has no threat, temptation has no allurement, sin has no hold that the child of God cannot break in the power of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Thank God for that, for those who are oppressed. And those of you who are obsessed, you say, oh God, I know I'm saved, but I have thoughts, I have ambitions, I have proclivities, I have things that seem to push me and drive me and mold me, and I don't want these things. Dear friend, it is time that you get alone in the prayer closet or get with some prayer warriors and say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I take authority over you, and I give back to God the ground that I've given to Satan, and in repentance, clean up your life and say to that evil spirit, be gone in the name of Jesus. I have no more traffic with you. I have no more dealings with you. And in the name of Jesus, I refuse you, resist you, rebuke you. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then for those of you who are unsaved, those of you who are unsaved, you may not be demon possessed, but you're a candidate for it. You're a candidate for it. He's watching. He's waiting. And all of the mysteries of iniquity many of us don't know. But I do know, dear friend, that if he has an opportunity, he will invade your personality, take up a place in you that will make it extremely difficult, almost well nigh impossible, apart from a miracle of God, that you be saved. And that's the reason you need to be saved today. It's the reason you need to give your heart to Jesus. You need to be born again, to receive Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Martin Luther, who led the Protestant Reformation, somebody asked him, Martin, how do you manage to live and victoriously over Satan? Martin Luther said, when Satan comes and knocks at my door, Jesus goes to answer the door. And Satan says, who lives here? Jesus said, Martin Luther used to live here, but he's moved out, and I live here now. And says, when Satan sees those nail-pierced hands, he leaves immediately. But I want to tell you right now, Jesus is knocking at your heart's door, and he wants in. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Isn't it wonderful, I say, that Jesus is knocking at your heart's door, and he wants to come in. When he comes in, he will forgive your sin, he will cleanse you, and then he will fill you with his own presence. He will take control of your life and begin now to make you the person he wants you to be. If you want Jesus as your personal Savior, would you just tell him right now, oh Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to save me. Oh God, I need you. I want you to save me. In his wonderful name, amen.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment, but you died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in you. Thank you for saving me, Jesus, and help me to live for you from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.